are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love. Oh, my dear.
Oh, my dear.
I will sing to the
Lord.
I will
sing to
the Lord.
I will
love
Him. Oh, the day I am.
I will bow down before Him. I will sing to the Lord. And worship
the King of
Heaven. I will love Him.
Oh!
earth are ablaze, your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better.
Quiet today. You guys gotta make a lot of noise this morning now. You guys awake out there? Wow. What's with the Christmas hoodie? It's not even December yet. Those will not be there next week.
And there's Christmas music.
Oh, I mean, yay! No, I just have to. Well, I'm glad you guys are here this morning, and we're going to have a great time of worship this morning. And I know there's lots of people staying home and with all the increase and stuff, and I'm just glad that we're still meeting here like this. You know, I enjoy this. I know I need it. I know I've talked to lots of friends and family who are still, for lots of reasons, you know, being at home and their churches aren't meeting and all that kind of stuff, and I get those for those people, but I just, for me and where we are right now, I'm just like, I just see the need for us meeting, you know, and I understand health issues and health concerns, and I get all that, and God's definitely changing how I thought about this at the beginning of all this mess, but I don't know, I just see too much, I see more damage with people not coming together than I ever do with anything else, so I'm not negating the people that have health issues and are taking precautions. That's great. But I don't know. I just live in a place where I just want to worship God, and I kind of take that scripture, you know, as a point that a man wants to die. And, you know, I do all the precautions I can, and after that, it's in Father's hands. I know there's a time and a place where I'm going to draw my final breath, and that's going to be it's going to be a great day. It's going to be awesome. I'm not looking forward to that anytime soon on some levels. And then other levels, you know, I'm ready to go. I just got a text from our sister church in Palmer. And I don't know how many of you knew, I'll tell you Space's name now. Is that Wally? Doug? Wally? Wally just passed this morning, so I don't know how old he was. He was fairly old, but some of the saints gone home, and he was in an old folks' home or a nursing home for quite a few years. So that's kind of those another grace of God, you know. So let's just, you know, let's open with a prayer of prayer this morning and just, like, just push into where Father is, where our heads are, you know, with those who aren't here for lots of reasons, whether they're taking precautions and whether they're sick. We just need to pray into that. And above all things, that regardless of how, where we are, we're not operating out of fear. I understand caution. I understand taking precautions. But we can't allow that, as a child of God, to go into that fear place, because that's not the place we should ever operate. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we could be here this morning. I thank you for the ones that are here this morning. Father, we know there's lots of our family and friends that aren't here this morning. Father, we just pray over them this morning. Father, we pray that they would just be at peace this morning where they're at. Father, some of them are sick. Father, we just continue your healing hand on them. Father, we just lift them up. We just pray for instantaneous, miraculous healing right now in this moment. Father, we just pray that they would just feel your presence and your hand physically on their bodies and their minds and their spirits. Father, I pray above all things that we as your children live lives that are victorious and full of life. But yet even that place of freedom, that we're not, with how we live our lives, making others feel condemned by the choices that they make. Father, above all things, we need to love like you love. I know that gets in the way sometimes when we have these things. There's no, everybody's on opposite sides of the spectrum on some of these decisions and these things that are out there. So, Father, every single moment, it's a moment-by-moment thing that we walk, that we ask of you what to do, what to say. And Father, I pray that that's not just in the current climate in which we find ourselves, but every single day for the rest of our lives, Father, that we are every single moment asking, Father, what do you want us to do? How do we speak? And above all, how do we love each other like you love us? We have that scripture written down, but Father, do we really live it out? Do we really understand it? Do we really know it to the core of our existence and operate in that place? Father, as we worship this morning, Father, I pray it would be from hearts full of love and adoration and thanksgiving and gratefulness and joy. Joy. And Father, I pray that we always would hear you, your voice alone from your word this morning. Well, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save wretches like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about him, his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and won me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation and tongue, from every generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
You are good. Good. You are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good. We worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for
You are holy.
You are holy.
And you are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
And I will listen.
I will listen.
And I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
All of my days,
you I will sing Lord of Lords, and worship the King of Lords. Of thee, I will love him, adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing good and worship the King of Lords. Of thee, I will love him, adore him. And I will bow down before him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. And you are holy.
You are holy.
And you are mighty.
You are mighty.
And you are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise. And I will follow.
I will follow.
And I will listen.
I will listen.
And I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
All of my days.
I will sing to
you. And worship
the King
of Lords. Worthy.
I will love him. Adore him. And I will follow him. Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Heavenly Father, I pray that that's our heart cry, that we live our lives for you in total abandon of everything that's going on around us, Lord. May our lives be sold out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we introduced this song to you guys last week, and we introduced it to Where I Work as well, and we clapped when they do the, clap four times on the bridge. Yeah. When they go bomb, 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 bomb. That's all I know. That's all I can say. You guys will get it, but.
Warning to dancing.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Just don't mess it up now.
I know.
Nope.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me.
Man's empty praise, treasures of pain are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all,
and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the
God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Better than you, oh, there's nothing. Better than you, oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grace into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Oh, nothing is better than you.
You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grace into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into valleys. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Good job.
A star saved find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. At the sound of your great name, the enemy, he has to flee. At the sound of your great name, Jesus.
the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, what is the Lord that was saved for us? The Son of God.
Great name. Strongholds are broken. Every fear has to leave. The darkness cannot overshadow the light. We thank you for your great name. We thank you by just saying the name Jesus, the atmosphere changes. We thank you that we get to come into the presence of who you are every single day. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So you guys have a good week? Anybody have... Brian. What mic should I use? Nick? This mic work? I don't know whose it is. Anybody got a testimony? I just feel like I need to give you guys an opportunity to share what God's been doing in your life. Just for a few minutes. I mean, I'll take the time. Don't get me wrong. Brian, you want to run this to Tim and Stammy for me? Make sure you turn it on. I don't know if it's on or not. I don't know anything about microphones.
There's too much to say. God has been so good these last weeks. And, well, he's always good, but he's been particularly good and, to my heart in a special way. And can't even put it in words, but I have to say God is good. And I thank God for these difficult times we're going through because there are lessons to be learned. And he's preparing us. He's teaching us. He uses every circumstance to grow us. And I thank him for that. What if he just left us alone and never let us have a rough time or a problem or never let us see a victory, never let us see a failure? Hallelujah, we get to fail, we get to succeed. I am so blessed this morning. I'm about beside myself. I just have to tell you that. I'm so glad I'm part of this body. I walked in here this morning and I thought, what a precious bunch of people. I'm so glad you're my family. Just so glad. I'm just glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it. Someone else.
This is not really my testimony, but we sang about the Lord being our strength. And it's kind of a request. I'm going to ask you to pray for Susie. She's not here this morning because she was feeling weak and she probably needs another transfusion. But every day, Susie relies on God's mercy and his strength just to get up out of her chair and to move and to come back. And so I'm asking that you pray for her, and I'm praising God that she is her strength. He is her strength daily, moment by moment. And just to see her crying out to God to help her when there's nothing anybody can do, you know. But she's just a testimony to how much she loves God and how much she has to rely on him. You know, we don't have to, but she does. In a way, we don't have to. But just to even get up and out and move from her chair to the bathroom to her bed, she has to rely on his strength. So thank you for your prayers for her, and I praise God that he's with her and that he gives her new mercies every morning. And we're told that if we come boldly to the throne, when we need help, he gives us mercy and grace.
Yeah.
And I'm just praise God that he does that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, if some of you haven't talked to Susie, go talk to her. Puts your life in perspective. But yeah, I talked to her the other day, a couple Sundays ago, and yeah, just a few simple words, and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. But God gives us all those things. I was talking to a friend this week. It's like, well, I don't have that kind of grace with Susie. We don't need that. Susie needs that kind of grace. We have the grace that we need. We can't imagine what somebody else's life is like. And I think we start comparing, there's no value in that. But it is when we have brothers and sisters that are on the surface having a rougher life than we are. It helps us put our life into perspective when we're like, we have little things that come up and like, oh, I just can't. No, you can't. You really can't, right? So it's like, because we all should live in that place where Susie lives. We should be in that place of, even though we can get physically and move around more easily than Susie can, we still should be in this place of like every single day, every single moment is dependent on Christ in us. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Someone else.
As of last Thursday, I am tube free for the first time in, like, I don't know, 2 years.
Awesome. So
they pulled the wound back, and I'm, like, just healing all by myself now, like a big girl. Feels good.
So you're bagless. That's, wow.
I am. Like, no random burpee noises.
You don't have anything that's, you know, you're
right?
Missing it, are you?
A little bit. I don't know. Really, like, it weighs, like, 5-6 pounds, I think. So, I mean, yeah, a little bit. It feels weird. So, but it's good. I'm on a 10-day trial, and if I check in on Monday and it goes well, then I'm, like, done. So,
good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you. That's interesting. I asked that question of you. You listened to just kind of a joke, but at the same time, I'm glad you answered the way you did, because it really, don't we get used to things like that? Well, you get used to the burden. We get used to this is a pain, and then when it's gone, we miss it. Some have been praying for freedom and deliverance or whatever for years, but because we have chosen to allow that, I'm not saying with a malicious thing, that was a physical thing, but we allow a lot of times emotional and spiritual baggage to define us, and then when God delivers us from it, it's like, well, I missed that, right? Because now we don't have an excuse anymore. But you don't understand, I have this thing. No, you don't have a thing. Thank you, Lish, I appreciate it. That's awesome. We've been praying for that for a long time. Someone else? You have a new granddaughter? Cool. So you now really have no money? No money at all now, Ken. Just, you might as well just hand that credit card right over to her right now. Sign, check, all you're broke now, brother. I mean, I won't be that way when I have a granddaughter, but I'm just saying. Shh, nobody's talking to you. All right, someone else. This is good. You already had a turn. Oh, okay. You have to talk to the mic so people online can hear
this
you. They don't see
fault,
you.
Because I'd forgotten already. I'm a great grandma as of yesterday, so that was.
I'll keep all those comments that are in my head to myself. Good. You having issues, boy?
He wants to sit with his family for once.
What, Emily's? Wasn't there a chair there? Anyway. Children. Anyway, someone else. I'm grateful for my children. Oh. All right, I won't drag this out. Okay. I'll see you as soon as I. Oh, Lord.
Obviously, weird times right now, but a lot of discouragement going around. Something for me that's been incredibly encouraging is I meet with a group of high schoolers every week, and there's like 16, 17 year old boys who are willing to get up before school and meet with me between like 6 and 7 a.m. and open and do a Bible study for like an hour and a half, 2 hours every week. And they are like absolutely on fire for God. And it was cool because a while back they actually got COVID. And rather than being the first thing being like, hey, we got COVID, we can't meet, it was, hey, we have COVID, how do we meet instead? And they set up like an online Zoom Bible study. One of them's actually just started a Bible study in his school, where they meet at 6 a.m. before school starts to do a Bible study, and one of the teachers actually joined his Bible study. So it's cool just to see these kids on fire for God, even in times like today. Like, that for me is an incredible testimony. So.
Amen. Thanks, Chris.
No. These last 2-3 weeks have been really hard for Brian and I, just with the COVID stuff and work, and that affected our finances, or what we thought was going to affect our finances, and we didn't know how we were going to make ends meet until yesterday, when we had a lot more money in the bank account than we've had in like 3 months. It's been a while since our account has been like where we feel like we can relax, because it's been as low as like $20. And we get paid in like next week, so we're just like surviving on $20. but it's been really good. I just wanted to praise God for the provision that He continues to provide for Brian and I, continues to put food on the table and pay our bills. So
good.
Yeah.
If you stop buying new clothes, you'll have lots of money.
I haven't bought a new clothes in forever.
I know. So to give her a hard time.
I was actually kind of funny, because if nobody was going to say something, I was actually going to hop up and say that. or connected. But again, like she was saying, it was a legitimate surprise to see how blessed we were. And upon seeing that, like, the first words out of my mouth were, "Praise be to the God that multiplies the fish and the bread." You know, it's important for us to remember that He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides. And like, honestly, for me, it has been a personal struggle. I try to hide it, and that's my own fault. But it's amazing just how, again, God is able to stretch that which He wills. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a blessing.
Because again, I think so often we read scripture, and when we see that God provides all of our needs, we read it and we don't really a lot of times believe it. But when we step into it, you know, in all the years that I've been following God and all the crazy things that Dawn and I have been through in our life, there's never been a time where God hasn't provided a need. And most of the time, lots of wants and extra too. All right. So, cool. Someone else.
I'm on now. And so I did that, and I just watched God move every day of this week, just move in that area, and it's just really cool.
It is. That's awesome. All right, one more. Or no more. Well, all right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. It's just fair is one of those things I feel like we should do more often, especially all the time. But it's always cool to see what God's doing when we think things are kind of coming apart. Yeah, I've had those kind of things too this week. You know, just when things get tight and tough, and you're having issues with people in your life, it's amazing what what one conversation with that person, changes your whole perspective. It's like, oh, I misheard that. I didn't hear that right. Even though you said those words, that's not what you meant. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing when you clear up the air and then the weight's gone in a simple conversation. And it's just like, again, it's just, I should know better by now, for as long as I've been doing this and as long as I've been in relationships with people, that, you was like, okay, if I'm hurt by what they said, I should ask a follow-up question in the moment, not go home and stew on it for 3 or 4 days and, make it worse. And yeah, so it's just really cool. Again, just that clearing of the air when we have conversations with each other, and more importantly, when we have those conversations with Father. When we sit in that place and we're really honest about things, and when you have people in your life that are asking you questions and they ask you, I had a couple people this last week ask me where my joy was, what am I doing to instill joy into my life, and to have an honest answer for them was really eye-opening for myself. What do I do to instill joy? That's not what the message is. I contemplated that, and Father's like, no, I want you to start continuing to 1 John this morning, but I was really wanting to just start a whole series on talking about joy, and we'll probably go there at some point when Father tells me to. But today he told me to go continue on in 1 John. And I, those of you that have been with us since the first of the year that we've been in 1 John, I was talking to my dad this week. He just turned 84, and just talking about just how God just continues to open up Scripture and just the more you dig into it, the more you read, and just taking a simple, good Bible that has cross-reference scriptures in the middle of the column, if you just take that and study that, you'll be lost in Scripture for hours, just chasing Scripture over and over through the Word of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And then I have a Bible that my dad gave me years ago, and it's an incredible study Bible. I haven't seen anything like it. They still make it. But just all the different notes in there, and again, like I was telling him, because you've all heard me say, I'm not about regurgitating somebody else's experience with God. But you take in that study Bible, and you take what he's learned. It's like, oh, okay, now I take the Scriptures, and that's where I dig from, is the Scriptures that he may go back to and in the studies that he did. And so we are in 1 John chapter 4 this morning. And again, like I said, I hope you guys have been paying attention up to this point, because we're going to kind of focus on pretty much love through definitely the rest of this chapter, but love has been the theme, obviously the theme of the whole Word of God. But if you just take 1 John, how many times the word love comes up? It's quite a few times. And here, starting in verse 7 of chapter 4, going through, and we're not going to get through all this morning, clearly, but through 21, through the end of the chapter, the word love is referenced 27 times in a few verses. So to me, when the word keeps coming up, and when God keeps coming back to a topic or a word, and when it's multiplied over and over and over again in such a short group of verses, it might be important to pay attention. All right? So let's dive into this morning. So 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Beloved, let us love one another. And again, we've referenced this idea of loving one another through this whole chapter and in lots of other places that we've looked at over the years that you guys have been part of this body and probably other bodies as well. But beloved, let us love one another. It sounds like a suggestion. It's like, oh, let us go to town today. We may or might not go to town today. Some of us hate going to town. I don't. I love going to town. But I know there's lots of people in this room that hate going to town. They don't like to drive. They don't like the traffic. All that, right? Let us love one another. I don't think it's a suggestion. I think that let us, I don't think. I know that let us is a command. Let us love one another. Now, again, We talk a lot about love. We're married. We're in relationship with our kids, our relationship with friends. Love looks different, does it not? And when it says, let us love one another, do you know how to love one another? Husbands and wives, do you know how to love one another? I won't ask you that question because I'll have lots of people in my office afterward. But anyway, do we know how to love one another? And years and years ago, I read a simple book, and I haven't even read it since I read it, but it's called The Five Love Languages. It's one of the most simple tools to use to find out, to begin the journey, to find out how your husband and wife, what their love language is. It's not just husbands and wives. It's how do your children like to be loved? How do your friends like to be loved? Do you know how to love the people in your life? Do you know what their love language is? And here's the thing that I have found out over the course of years. I'm always getting it wrong, but I know what it is. But here's the thing. It seems like, and this again, this is God's sense of humor, I think, our love language don't usually sync up. A husband and wife don't usually have the exact same love language. And I dare say most of the time, in all the couples that I have talked to, the love languages kind of clash, or maybe not clash, but it's harder for the other one to give that kind of love language to the other person. So like mine is physical touch and time spent, right? I love, if I could just hang out with the people that I love and be in close connection with them, I'm a very huggy person, right? Shush. And my wife's major one is words of affirmation. Now, for a lot of years, I thought words of affirmation was a Hallmark card greeting. And I was just like, oh, that just sounds stupid. And she's like, no, ding dong. Just say, hey, my hair looks nice. I'm like, that seems stupid. She goes, that's a word of affirmation, right? Just simple thing. Notice the things about me, either physically or things that I've done or things that I'm saying. Just say that back to me. I was like, well, that seems silly. Right, it's simple. You're a man. You can figure that out. It's simple. It needs to be simple for me, right? But do you think that's easier for me to do even though it's simple? No. Right? So what do we know how to love each other? And that's just in the physical, you know, again, we can go down that road a long ways, right? But I'm saying, do we know how to love each other? That's one way, but do we know how to love each other when the other person's being a little obstinate? When that person isn't doing the things that you think you deserve. And you know, you've heard me, men that have been here for any length of time, you know I harp on this a lot, and I'll continue to harp on it. It always comes down to when I'm getting sideways of how I feel like my wife is treating me or not treating me, is how am I loving her like Christ loved the church, and that takes care of all my attitude most of the time. Because even though I know that truth, there's still that stupid piece of me that's like, but I need, and God's like, look, son, love her like I love you. And we won't be having this conversation because you'll have your hands full just doing that. And when you're doing that, all the things you think are important, they'll either sort themselves out or it won't matter to you anymore. Do you know how to love each other? Do you know how to love your children? Do you know how to speak blessing and life into their world? Because why is it asking, beloved, let's love one another? Why? Because love is from God. And there's this whole thing that in that study Bible was talking about, he kind of took these verses and he said 20 things why we should love one another. And I kind of adapted some of his things that he's using, but it's interesting. Why should we love one another? Because it says here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And so to me, it's like the first thing is that it proves that we are of God. We have a relationship with him. It's like, I can't say I love you. I can't say that I hate you, and we'll get into that. But I can't say that I'm from God if I don't love. I mean, really. And there's lots of circumstances that come into our life. We have people in our life. We have relatives that rub us the wrong way, and they say the wrong thing, and that's just our close blood sometimes. It's like, man, do I even love them? Because I have to understand, love is from God. It's not, again, when we all understand this, hopefully, that, you know, it's not my, I'm not, if I'm trying to love for my own love, it's going to run out really quick. But if I come into this place of understanding, it's like, look, I'm loving because God is love. Love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So again, when we put it in that thing where whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, that puts love in a whole different light. It's not a feeling. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to love to feel the feeling of love, right? I know it's like right? But I love that ushy-gushy romantic love and intimacy that I have with my wife. That's a totally different love than I love any of y'all with, right? I mean, I love y'all, but not like that. And that's a good thing. Right? I love that those moments that are captured in time that are just unique to my wife and I. And as that goes out, because it's just like I understand, it's about when I've been born of God and I know God, I've been in this place of love. This place of love, this command to love one another. And if we're walking that place, really shows us that we're of God and that we're actually sons and daughters of God. We can't call ourselves sons and daughters if we don't love. Right. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. When we love, the reason we should love, the third thing is assurance to our core that we know God. Because see, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to attack you and he's going to attack us in those places when we know we should love each other in a certain way, and we have our spouses and our children and our friends. They have expressed to us, we know without a shadow of a doubt, how they like to be loved, right? And we come to this place with God, and the enemy comes in and goes, but yeah, you messed that up. And we can, but when we understand, we know to the core of our existence who God is in our life, and we know to the core of our existence how much he loves us, as we'll look at through the rest of these scriptures in the weeks to follow. But this place of knowing is so important, that we know just how intimate Father loves us. And as I was constantly, I had a verse run through my brain this morning, and God took me to the passages of Scripture, Psalm chapter 139. And again, man, go back and read the whole thing. We're not going to read the whole thing this morning. We're just going to read a few verses out of this chapter. But just again, thinking about this place of being known, that we know to the core of our existence that God knows us. Psalm 139, starting in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Drop down to verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You want to talk about intimacy? You want to talk about known? So when I saw that verse, I saw, you know, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Well, we know God to a level, and we can only know God to a level here in this place, but he knows us, and there's other passages of Scripture that kind of back this up, but the Psalm 139, this place where he knows us at this level. He knows our thoughts. He knows the words before we speak them. He was there when we were being intricately woven in our mother's wombs. Think about that. He was there in that moment putting us together, speaking your bodies into existence. Man, is that not love? Is that not love? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I know you're going, oh, you're going to read the love chapter. No, I'm going to read the end of it. Love never ends, starting verse 8. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. I love this. So right now, we only know in part. Right now, when we're talking about diving into this thing of love, this command to love one another, this command to have this relationship with Father, we can only understand in part. We can only know in part. Then I shall know fully. There's a point in time when we get home, we will know fully. Even as, and hear this, I have been fully known. God doesn't know us in part this morning. When he commands us to love one another, he understands what he's asking us to do. He knows us fully right now. So when he says, beloved, even that word, beloved, love one another. Do this because love is, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Love is from me, is like hear it from him speaking this to you. Love is from me. And when you love in this place, it shows that you've been born from me and that you know me. It's okay to change that up, right? I'm not adding to scripture. I'm just personalize it. Because again, I think so often we take scripture and we leave it outside us and we don't personalize it. We don't bring it into ourselves and we think it's for someone else. But this to command to love one another is huge. And then days ahead. Man, we need to showcase this. Because isn't there a scripture that says they'll know you by, you know you're my disciples by what? By your love. In the midst of this, the term, the world in which we live, whether it's political or it's corona or whatever it is, I mean, we should always be defined by love as the bride of Christ. But if in my own mind, in my own thoughts, if there was ever a time and place in history for the bride to stand up and love, I mean love like this, love one another, and love as we've been loved, and have people know, it's like, man, you got to be something different because of how you love. And it's love without condemnation. It's not this free love of like accepting everything and everybody for whatever they want to do and say it's okay. That's not love. Because any of us that have had children and have had to discipline them, you know, those rare occasions, right? But when we've had to discipline, that's love. It's not love to let them do whatever they want to, but the world will tell you that. The world will tell you, don't give them any restrictions, don't give them any limitations, and let them do whatever they want to. Well, we're seeing the beautiful result of that from lots of generations, and I'm not condemning generations, but I'm saying there's been generations that haven't, well, being so bold to say this, haven't loved their children well. I know that's a really harsh statement to make. But I can't really blame a generation when we see that within the confines of the Bride of Christ. When it comes to our own families, when it comes to how we operate inside our body of believers here in this place. Are we loving each other in the place to come and confront? Are we loving each other to that place? Because love one another, again, is coming into each other's lives and saying, look, this is off. And I love you enough to walk into this, not from a place that I've got it all figured out, but this is what Father has come and told me to tell you. You need to hear this. This has come from Father. We have to be careful with that because, like, there's lots of that. Well, I'm saying it. I'm being harsh in love or I'm correcting in love. Well, yes and no. Because I've heard some really hard things from people even recently that was absolutely full of love. And I've had similar things that sounds like the same thing from other people, and there wasn't love anywhere in the room. But again, it comes back to this place of that intimacy with Father, knowing that he knows where we are and knows our heart condition at any given time. We can't hide that from him. We might be able to snow everyone else, but we can't fool God. And it's really a waste of our time and energy to do that. We need to step into this place of being real. We need to step into this place of going, you know what, God? Whatever it takes. Are you at that place of whatever it takes? Like, I want to love my brothers and sisters. I want to love at this level. I want people to know that I've been born of God and know God by the way that I love. Because verse 8 goes right into the opposite. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. And it is. And it's good. Because there shouldn't be any wiggle room. It's like, well, there should be some exceptions. No, it says anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. And I know we can take the argument and go, well, yeah, but God wiped out all these people in the Old Testament. Do you think God was up there celebrating when those things happened? No. Do you think God celebrates when people die in their sin and they go to hell? No. I don't think he does. In fact, I know he doesn't. Even people who reject him to their dying day are still his creation, are they not? And again, we live in this world where anything goes and everything goes, and how you feel about whatever it is in your life is, if you're not hurting anybody else, it's okay. Well, I would dare say that you are hurting somebody in what you're doing. If it's a violation of the Word of God, even if it's just hurting you, it's still hurting somebody. Well, it's my choice, it's my decision to live the life I want and how I want and whenever I want and with whomever I want. No, it's not. And especially as a believer, we got to come back to these places of the simplicity of the Word of God and going like, anyone who does not love God, does not know God because God is love. We have to come back to that and really step into that and be like, I may or may not like that, but that's what God says, isn't it? It's not about how I feel about it. Feeling and God's command really have nothing to do with it. When my children were littler at home and I told them to do something, I didn't really care how they felt about it. And if they pitched a fit about it, they got candy and cake. No, they didn't. Right? If they pitched a fit because I gave them a command, if you will, to do something, that was their responsibility, by the way, clean their room or take out the trash or whatever it was, you know, big major things. They were met with resistance when they didn't want to do it, right? But we handle God, the creator of the universe, way more flippantly, I would say, than each other, do we not? God, again, comes back to this place of simplicity. He's like, look, I'm keeping this as simple as possible. And when I say love, just do it. And I understand it's more complicated than that, right? I get that. I do understand that. It's like, okay, I just go love everybody. Just that's so easy. No, it's not, right? But it's this daily, you know, dying to self. Because when I don't love, I guarantee you, almost every single time is because I'm being selfish. I mean, when I get strip it all down and I'm being honest as I possibly know how, it's because I'm being selfish and I'm not getting my way, or I'm not getting what I think should happen, or whatever it is. And when I get out of the way and I just dive into the truth of his word, and I say, you know what, Father, as I read in Psalm 139 this morning, and again, as I just read a few moments to you guys, man, I am intimately known. But how many of us, is that a comfortable thing for you to realize, or is it uncomfortable to know that you're known at that level? Seems like we all want to have secrets. We all have these things we keep, and I get, you know, there's things about all of our lives we're not going to stand up here and testify all our darkest secrets of our entire life in this kind of a setting. That's not appropriate. Right? But with God, he already knows it. But to have that place of connection and love and connectedness, it's like, look, this is how I'm supposed to operate. We got to get out of our own heads. We got to get out of our own way. We got to get out of our own understanding what love is. And even as I've started diving into this week, it just keeps opening up more and more. And it's like, well, I thought I understood, but I really don't. When I'm commanded to love one another, take it out of the feeling, take it out of the rights, take it out of the what am I going to get out of this on the other end. We can't, that's not love. And I think that's one of the biggest questions I've heard from so many people over the years, and you probably have as well. If God is a loving God, why does he allow bad things to happen? Sometimes I have answers to that, sometimes I don't. Right? That's probably the biggest accusation that is leveled at God across the board. If God loves, then why? Why is there sickness? Why is there COVID? Why is there homeless? Why is there, you pick anything, why is all those things? Part of my answer to that is God can make it all go away, but then it's, where's the relationship? Like Tammy was testifying this morning, if we just had it all easy, where's the relationship? Where's the depth? Where's the, don't get me wrong, I can use that for a lot of things. There's a lot of things I still wrestle with God about. It's like, I don't understand why this is happening, why those things are allowed to happen. I have my own questions, right? But it keeps coming down to the fact that either I believe God is true and what he says is true, or I don't. I have to break it down to that simple. A lot of times when he says he is love and love comes from him, I have to just believe that. In those moments, it doesn't feel true. Because again, feel, hear the word, feel. We're all based everything on how we feel about things. Sometimes we need to just use our logic and faith and go, well, you said it, so I believe it. Oh no, what a scary thing. Right? I love that. I love that he wired me that way. I know he didn't wire everybody that way, right? But he wired me that way most of the time. It's like, okay, I don't understand it, but you said it, so I believe it. So I'm going to operate as I best know how. And every single day and every single moment is that place, that tension of living in that relationship with Father. How do you want me to love today? How do you want me to love in this moment? And there's lots of things about my life that people that get to know me closely can tell by how I talk where my love is. I'm not, you know, dropping F-bombs and cussing. That's not it. But I become really cutting and sarcastic. I mean, I'm sarcastic and jokey a lot. Anyway, but it gets really damaging. When I'm not in that place of love, it's like there's I get really inward focused and really selfish. And I really don't care about what anybody else thinks, and down to my own family at times in those moments. So we're in this place with Father, this relationship, and we know we are known and we've been born of God and all those few things we looked at this morning. When we're really honest, when you ask Father how loving I'm being, you will know. As we go into our prayer time this morning, that'll be the question. Ask Father how well you are loving one another. But here's the thing, don't ask the question if you don't want to know the answer. Because I guarantee you, he will tell you if you want to know. And for some of us, it might be a really good thing. He might be saying, you're doing a pretty good job right now. And for others of us, he might be like, I want to work on that. And he'll show us moments in this past week where we haven't loved those people that he brought into our realm of influence in our life. But again, even if that's the case, it's not from a place of condemnation, it's a place of correction. Because he wants us to be in this place. I know, just like as a father, I want, and it's not about that my children define who I am. I am who I am without whatever my children do, right? But I want my children to have a good reputation, whether it's work or relationships or whatever it is. I want them to have a good reputation of who they are and who they are in community and who they are in society and living out their lives just on that level. Do you not think that God wants us to be in this place where we are known by our love for each other? When I answer the question, he does. He does. Because I've seen it time and time again when a group of people come into this place and the absolute love from the place of understanding and depth and being obedient to a command that's given to them, the atmosphere absolutely explodes around them. I don't know about you, but we've talked again about this over the years. I want to be part of setting fire to this valley from a place of love. That's what's going to change. I mean, real love. When we really love each other, and that starts with us individually. I was talking again with friends this week. It's like, God, it has to start here. Has to start in that soul searching, where am I? Am I being selfish or am I being loving? Am I living in this place of loving the people that are the easiest for me to love? Am I loving them well? That's where it starts. Am I loving my wife well? Am I loving my children well? Am I loving all of you well? Now, you guys can only answer that. I have my own ideas, but you guys answer that better than I do. And I've had some of you that have been honest enough and come and talk to me about those kind of things in the last couple of weeks. And some of those things are easy to hear and some not so much, even though I understand and agree with what's been said. Because see, here comes the enemy going, yeah, you're failing as a pastor. You're pastoring a church. What in the world are you standing up there talking about? I don't have any value standing up here. It's God in me that gives me the ability to say anything and the right to say anything. It's not because I got it all figured out. If you're looking for a figured out pastor, you need to find somebody else because I ain't it. And here's the thing. It's not about achieving this perfected love. It's about trying and falling and getting up and doing it again. Because every time I've fallen and stood up and walked, I'm a little bit farther down the road. There's been times I've gone a little backwards, but recently, it seems like a falling. Because see, here's the thing. As Father brought this picture to mind just now, it's like when I fall, I've been falling forward. I'm still gaining ground. I've fallen down, but I've fallen forward. I've fallen backwards. Still moving forward. I'm on my face now. Sometimes that's a good place for me to be. Literally on my face, on the ground. Because that's where Father put me. It's a humbling place, but when you're in that place and that's where God puts you, don't try to jump right up. Sometimes not your place to jump right up immediately. Sometimes just stay there. Not, again, not from a place of condemnation and judgment, because the enemy will try to beat you down with that. But you seem to be there a while. I had a friend this last week. He's been quoting it to me a couple weeks. Psalm 23, he maketh me lie down. He makes me lie down. I don't think it's that's there for lots of reasons, but it's like God knows his people, and he's like, you know what, I know I'm going to get some stubborn sons and daughters, and they're not going to stop, and so I'm going to make them lay down. But sometimes that comes in the form of sickness. It's like God causes sickness. I think at times, I know personally that's happened, like you get run, like God's okay, you're not gonna, I'm just going to let your body, your natural body that I created, just give out because that's its design. If you overtax it and you don't sleep enough and you don't eat right and you work all the time or whatever it is, your body will eventually shut down, no matter how driven you are, right? So I think that's part of he maketh me lie down. So why can't we be smart enough to lie down before it hits that place, right? But that maketh me lie down, that's a place of love. But some of us don't want to lay down. Some of us don't want to stop. Some of us don't want to come to that place of quiet rest. So this morning, again, as we go into our prayer time for the next few moments, ask Father, unless he's talking about something else, ask Father how well you love the people in your life. I don't know what the love one another. I don't know what the one another's are in your life. And are you in that place where you would receive the Father tells you to stop and slow down? Would you do it? I had that question leveled at me this week. Would you do things the Father asks you to do, even if it doesn't make sense logistically, financially, any other way? Because the Father's telling us to do it, I guarantee you it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. So as we go into this prayer time, ask the question, how well are you loving? Let's pray. Let's go into prayer time.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Say, left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father God, as we have taken these few moments to just pray together in this room, the things that you brought to mind, whether those are the things that I said to just to pray and ask you about, or was it things totally different? Father, you have so many attributes and so many things about who you are, but Father, in these next few days, weeks to come, Father, just kind of focusing on your love for us. The overarching thing that's so transformational. We experience it and we understand it too in our limited abilities. But Father, we have seen time after time, even in the world, people who love in sacrificial, unconditional ways, just transforms people around them, transforms lives. And if that can happen in a place where they don't even operate with you in their life, Father, how much more incredible and more impactful would it be for believers to step into that place where we're loving each other and we're loving the world around us in this pure, perfect, unconditional, nothing looking for something to come back to us, but just absolutely outflow. And there's a thing, it should be because we're being loved so intently and so overwhelmingly, it should just be coming out of us all over the place without an effort. Father, love shouldn't, and there's times, yes, I understand that, but when we're operating in who you are and we're allowing your love to flow in and out of our bodies to those around us, man, that's it. Father, we just, again, just continue to specifically, intentionally pray for Susie this morning and for her health. Father, whenever I pray for people for healing, Father, we always obviously pray for instantaneous and immediate healing. And we have our own ideas of what that looks like, but Father, this morning, we know what you have. You already have a plan, a purpose. You already know what you're going to do and are doing right now, but Father, we just pray for your healing over Susie this morning. As Diane testified, Father, she already relies on you every single day just to do the basic things of life. Father, from her example, may we live our lives in that place. Even though we can get up and do things fairly easily physically, Father, may we not take that for granted. May we not just like, oh, I can just do this without thought. But Father, man, just like, man, every single thing we do, really all of it comes from you, and we just take it for granted all the time. At least I know I do. And Father, I pray that we would see the wonder today. The wonder of just the ability to stand and walk and talk and breathe in and out and use these bodies that you have created. Some bodies in this room are older than others and have been down the road and have wear and tear on them, but they are still, it doesn't matter, all our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. and every cell of our beings, you understand it better than any scientist will ever begin to discover. That's how intimately we are known and loved. May we pursue that. May we be imitators of that reality in our own lives to each other. May we have a hunger and thirst for this kind of love for each other that will never be quenched, will never be satisfied. And that we will just continue to get that all over each other. Become a real amazing pandemic. Man, I want to be part of something like that. So, Father, we thank you that you love us. And again, we don't even understand what that even means. We can't comprehend the level with which you love us, but we are grateful for what we understand. And may you continue to open up our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts and everything about us to understand more and more and more every single day just how much we are loved. And I understand that all this is only possible because Jesus, you paid it all. And you gave us the ability and the right to have this kind of relationship. And it's in your holy name, Jesus, that we pray.